Okay, let's pray. Bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you that we can be together with the brothers and sisters and families. Just be with us in this day. Guide us with your word and help us to hear your words and to fellowship with the brothers and to continue to fight in the way that you want us to go. Bless David and Bert in the Philippines today. Bless the other brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. Be with each one. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, today we're going to read from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Now maybe you have already gone over part of this chapter before, but we're just going to go back and read the whole thing, because there's some things in here that we should read and look at. So let's read from 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Whenever Brian had a lesson, he told you about this wicked queen and how she had killed all the men that were the king's descendants so that she could be the queen. And then there was one little boy that they hid. They hid him, and then whenever he was about 7 years old, they brought him out and made him king in front of all the people, and the queen came in. Do you remember what the queen said when she came in and saw what they were doing? What was the word that she said? Brendel? Treason. What does that mean? Arthur?
Unlawful.
Okay, that's pretty good. Okay, so now today we're going to go back here in chapter 24 and just look at what happened whenever Joash became the king. He was 7 years old and he was the king. Who's seven? Can you raise your hand if you're seven? Tate? Caleb? You guys are seven. So if you were 7 years old and you were the king, do you think that you would know what to do? Like if the men came to you and said, all right, what are we going to do? Would you know what you should do? You wouldn't know. What would you do? Would you just... Let's see what Joash did when he was 7 years old and he was the king. Okay, let's read in verse 1 in chapter 24, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives and begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass... Okay, Jehoiada was the priest. And it says, as long as Jehoiada was the priest, then Joash did what was right. Okay, so let's just think about that as we're reading the chapter. So now in verse 4, it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Do you think maybe Jehoiada helped Joash? Do you think maybe he helped him? Maybe gave him some advice, or maybe he just had Joash just come and sit there and watch, kind of watch the things that he was doing. It doesn't say for sure exactly all the things that happened, but it seems like Jehoiada was kind of like, he was kind of like his big uncle. He was watching over him. Well, he wasn't his uncle, but he had an influence on Joash. Verse 4, it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests of the Levites and said unto them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hasten not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah And out of Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness. For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. So Joash has the idea that they're going to get money, and they're going to repair the house of the Lord, and he told the priests that they should hurry up and do it, hasten. But they did not hasten. And so the king called for Jehoiada. By this time, I don't know how old Joash was, but he was beginning to do things himself. He was beginning to see what needed to be done, and he was doing them himself. And he called Jehoiada, the priest, and said, "Why aren't the men hurrying? We need to get this done." Because, it says, the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had taken the things out of the house of God and had used them to worship. They didn't bestow upon Balaam. Does anyone know what that means? They didn't bestow upon Balaam. Was Balaam? Who was Balaam? Was he a god? Was he a king? Anybody know?
What did they say about Balaam?
They had taken the things out of the house of God and had bestowed them upon Balaam. The wicked fell, offered them, so it would have been a god.
Balaam probably.
Okay, so they had the wicked sons of Athaliah. Remember that queen that we're talking about, her sons had taken the things out of the house of God and had offered them to Balaam. Okay, so now, let's keep on reading in verse 8. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest. You know what a chest is? What's a chest? Pardon? A box. Just like a cardboard box or something? Or what's it like? Metal? Okay, it could be metal or wood. Anything else? What other ideas do you have about a chest? What's a chest? What's a chest for? Do you guys have a chest at your house? Chest? Put stuff in? But it's probably like a strong box, right? It'd have a strong lid on it, and you could put a padlock on it. You could keep valuable stuff in there. A strong box. It could be made out of metal, or it could be made out of wood, but it would have a lid, and you could lock it. Okay. They made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. They made a proclamation. They said, they made a law, or it was like the news that everybody heard, that they should bring in a collection like Moses had commanded them. And it says in verse 10 that all the princes, all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest, until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought in unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did, day by day, and gathered money in abundance. They were getting a lot of money. The chest was filling up. They were taking it, emptying it, and they would bring it back again. And they were just keeping on doing this until they had a lot of money. Okay, verse 12. The king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them, and they set the house of God in state and strengthened it. When they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister to offer withal, and spoons, and vessels of gold and silver. They offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. So they had the house all fixed up. They hired masons and carpenters to fix the house. And it says people that knew how to work with brass and iron. So they had it all fixed up, and then whatever money was left over, it says that they used it for spoons and vessels of gold and silver, so like the tools that they needed for the offerings. They made all of these things, and when they offered, they had offerings of animals, like it was supposed to be in the house of God. But it says that they offered all the days of Jehoiada, and Jehoiada was the priest. He was the priest when Joash was just a little boy, and now he's king. He's still the priest. Now in verse 15 it says, Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, and 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. He became old and he died, and they buried him with the kings. Even though he wasn't a king, they buried him because he was an honorable man. And he had done good. Now, let's see what happens after Jehoiada died. What do you think Joash did after Jehoiada died? Does he still do the things that he should do? Let's see what happens. In verse 17 it says, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened to them. What do you think that means? It says, the princes of Judah, like the princes, the sons of the king, the important men, they came and they bowed before the king. It says they made obeisance. And the king hearkened to them. And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came on Judah and Jerusalem for this, their trespass. So these princes came and they talked to the king and they convinced him that they should serve idols and groves. And the king listened to them. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again into the Lord. They testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandment of the Lord? Ye cannot prosper, because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath also forsaken you. Okay, so here the son of Jehoiada, the priest, who died, and so the Spirit of God came on him, and he came, and he warned the king that what they were doing was wrong. But let's see what they did to this man who is warning them. It says in verse 21, they conspired against him and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus, Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, the Lord look upon it and require it. They took stones and they stoned him because he was warning them that what they were doing was wrong, that they shouldn't be worshiping these idols. But Joash and the men that were with him, they conspired against him, they took stones and they killed him. And then the end of the chapter says that the people from Syria came against Judah and Jerusalem. Let's read in verse 23. And destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent all the spoil of them to the king of Damascus. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. So they executed judgment against Joash. And when they were departed from him, for they left him in great diseases, his own servants conspired against him for the blood of the sons of Jehoiada the priest. And they slew him on his bed, and he died. And they buried him in the city of David, but they buried him not in the sepulchres of the kings. Jehoiada the priest, he was buried with the king because he was an honorable man. But this man, Joash, as soon as Jehoiada died, he began to worship idols. And he even killed a man that was warning him. And then all the enemies came. And it said, even though there was just a small number of them, they were able to take a lot of the Israelites. They were able to kill very many of them with just a small group because they had disobeyed God. And then Joash, the king, died. And they didn't even bury him with the king because he was not obedient to God. that was the end of the life of Joash. Okay, what are you guys talking about today? The verses that you're looking up? What is it about?
Lying.
About lying. Verses about lying. What verses do you have? Maybe you can stand up if you have a verse. Tell us what you have so that everybody can hear it.
Revelation 21:8.
Okay. What does the Bible say about lying?
But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
So let's hear what Tate has. Which one do you have, Tate? Matthew 5, verse 36. Okay, can you read it? Try to read it loud so the people back there can hear it too. Okay, what verse was that?
Matthew 5:37.
So whatever is yes, you should just say yes, and whatever is no, just say no. Okay, don't steal, don't be false, don't lie. So what about Philip?
Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another.
Colossians.
Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor,
and we are
members of one another.
What was that verse?
Ephesians 4:25.
Ephesians 4:25. Okay, good. Okay, so you say you know God, but you don't do the things that He says, then you're a liar. Just like if somebody asks you, if somebody asked you something and you lied about it, somebody asked you if you had ate a cookie and you said no, it's the same thing. If you say that you know God, it's a liar if you're not doing what He says. Wow, that's a lot of verses about lying. Arthur, did you have one? Can you stand up?
Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight.
God, it's an abomination to lie, but God loves people. Let's say the truth. Okay, Martin?
Ephesians 4:29. That no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that is, may minister grace unto the hearers.
Okay. All right.
Revelation 21:27.
And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, the same which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Okay, thank you. Alright, that was really good. We had a lot of verses, a lot of different verses.
seemed like about everybody found the verse today. Almost everybody. Okay, what should we have for next week? Any ideas from any of the brothers about next week?
Brian? How about believing the lie and being deceived?
Okay, believing the lie, being deceived. Okay. Can you find verses about believing a lie or being deceived?
Or like not being deceived
or deception.
Yeah.
Deception. What does it mean to be deceived? Do we have any ideas about that? What's that? When you're deceived?
Believing
a lie, okay, but what else? Anything else? Any other ideas about what it means to be deceived? When you're deceived is when somebody lies to you, okay? Somebody is tricking you. They're telling you one thing when it's not really that way. They might even make it look like it's that way, or they might even put in some truth. They might tell you some things that are true, and they might mix some things that aren't true with the things that are true. So you kind of believe them because you know part of it is true, but the rest of it really isn't true. Maybe some of the things that they're saying is right, but then when you look at everything that they're saying or the way that they're living, maybe it's not true. So what verses can you find about being deceived, about being careful not to be deceived, or looking out for people that are going to deceive you? Or how can we not be deceived? Find some verses in the Bible. Or how can you know if a person is deceiving you or if not? How can you know if a person is not really a Christian or is not really of God, even though he might be saying that he is with his mouth? Okay? All right. I guess that's all for today. You guys think about it.